And we're on with Melissa from GF Team. What's up?
Hi.
Hey. So, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not complaining. Good. Getting better, you know. A few injuries here and there, but besides that, it's good. Getting better.
Yeah, they say if you're not injured, you're not training.
Yeah, true. And everyone's injured. Jiu-Jitsu, everyone is injured.
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, it's no matter if it's just the finger or the toes, whatever, you know, everyone has small injuries.
There's something wrong if nothing's hurt.
Yeah, you don't training enough or you don't risk enough. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you recently got your black belt now, that I, as I remember correct, in the Worlds this year, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, how does that feel? Like...
Well, when I got my brown belt first day of 2021, yeah. So I was living here in Canada. Jake was traveling a lot to compete. He was doing the ranking for AJP. The province I live in was with crazy restrictions for COVID.
Yeah.
So they have a training. So I only competed, the Pan Ams was my second tournament as a brown belt after that, and then I got injured. So this was my second year competing as a brown belt. I wasn't sure if I was going to get my black belt. I figure for because of the time I would probably get, but I was thinking maybe they will give me like another year to try again. But at the same time, I was feeling a lot of pressure because I don't feel like I have the same training routine here as I had in Rio. So I was like, yeah, maybe I would like another year for try and win the world, but I think that would be a lot of pressure. It felt like a big relief when they surprised me with the black belt at the podium. I was so happy because Julio was there.
Yeah.
It was the first time he was there for me getting being promoted to a new belt, so it was very special.
Mm. That's nice. Julio is awesome. He's a nice, super nice guy.
Oh yeah, so yeah. Much respect for him and for everything he does. He helps so many people.
Mm. Yeah.
At the beginning.
Yeah, like because when me and you trained together, you were purple belt, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because yeah, I was purple too. I think I was purple. I'm still purple. So. But yeah, you were purple belt when we trained at GF Team in Mayer, and yeah, what a place.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, it's hard to find another place like that after training there for a while. It's challenging to feel like you are training as hard when you're not training there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... I can understand. It's probably a little bit different. The intensity and stuff is not the same as back in Rio, right?
Yeah, mainly because that training there that you were at, it's for competitors only.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone who's there has some experience, at least some experience, usually a lot of experience competing. And yeah, no one's... Like, everyone wants to win every single round.
Yeah.
So it's very, which is really good for when you are competing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, like, realistic training and stuff when you're there and they pair you up with rounds and, like, you get soaked and your gi is, like, all wet when you're finished. And it's a grind, you know. It's a meat grinder to be there. But, like, every time I go from there, I feel a little bit better. Even though I got smashed, I always feel a little bit better.
Oh yeah, 100%. I feel like that. My training partners here, they say that to me. They feel like every time I go there, I come back better. Even though like every time I go there, I feel like am I even good at jiu-jitsu because everyone's getting so much better every time I get there. But yeah, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something with that, like, and the energy and the vibe there, and like, yeah, and the intensity and stuff. It's something special. Like, I've been to lots of gyms in the world, like very many, and the intensity you get there, you don't get that too many other places. You know, it's different. You probably can get it, but it's different. You know, when you're there, it's something different. You know, it's something with it. I don't know how to explain it, but it's something very different for sure.
Yeah, I get it. And for me, like, I am sure that training there in Mayer for the girls is probably one of the best in the world right now. I mean, GFT was the champion last year for female jiu-jitsu at the world. So, like, in the end of the year, GFT got first for female athletes, which means the training there is really, really good for females now. You find at least 20 girls on the mats every day. So it's growing. The female team of GFT is getting better and better every year.
Yeah, it's a lot of good girls there, I believe. I haven't been in Rio for a long time now, but like every time I'm there, it's like getting smashed all the time. I know what you mean. Like you feel like a white belt again almost, or a blue belt. So it's hard, but it's fun, you know. You feel better afterwards, and it's very nice. So yeah. So like, how do you start? How did you like start with jiu-jitsu? What's your how's your story? How's your story? Jiu-jitsu in jiu-jitsu.
Well, jiu-jitsu is very big. I used to say since I was 14, I used to say, "Oh, I'm gonna start jiu-jitsu," and I never did because I was too lazy. So a great friend of mine from university, she started jiu-jitsu, and she's not training right now, but she insisted to me to go and watch her training and try jiu-jitsu. So that's when I went to Jeff Team for the first time. I didn't start training there. I started training at another GFT closer to my house, but she was training at Mayer at the evening classes. Mm. And also, as I was trying to find some self-defense, martial arts or whatever, you know, I was trying to find something just to have. As a woman, I think all of us should know a little bit.
Yeah.
Of self.
Yeah. Because I had Jake on the podcast, I think it was a couple of years ago now. And because I asked about you, I asked, like, is she like, does she have the same game as you when you do jiu-jitsu? And he was like, yeah, she's like, she was like a spider. She used spider guard a lot before, but developed more half guard game as the years passed. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. So the school I started training, the moment I started jiu-jitsu, they were showing a lot of spider and lasso guard. So that was my first game. That was the game I played in my first tournament. But because everyone knew I was Jake's girlfriend, everyone would tell me, oh, you should be good at half guard. I bet your half guard is really good. And I hate it, half guard. I hate it because, you know, the half guard is always there. Like when people are trying to pass your guard, or when they open your closed guard, or when you miss the back, you know, it's always there. And I didn't know what to do. I hate it because being the half guard at that time meant that I wasn't playing, you know, the game I wanted, which was open guard. So I asked my then professor, can you show me at least one sweep in half guard? First, because everyone expects me to be good at half guard, which was a lot of pressure. And also because I hate to be stuck in there. And he showed me, and I didn't feel very comfortable. Then he showed me another variation. It didn't fit very well. The third variation he showed me was like perfect. for my body type, and then that's that's my main sweep even now, like the dog fight, the classic half guard.
Yeah.
Of course, after we got married, when I was a blue belt, I was only training with Jake, basically. I would have classes with other instructors, but Jake was my main coach. So from there, it's expanded. And now I try to get into half guard from wherever.
Yeah, me too. I'm the same. I'm the same.
It's always there, right?
Yeah, it is. I'm the same. You know, I use half guard all the time. Now I use a variation of half guard. I use a variation called the Slee Guard by a Canadian guy who started to develop another half guard, but it's very good. I use that. I use deep half. I use regular half. You know, that's because like I can't do close guard. So so my first instructor told me, do half guard, you know, I'll show you like the Homer Simpson sweep. And I still do that till this day since I was a white belt. So it works.
Yeah.
Mm.
And because nowadays, this is like an old school game. So because I still compete at outdoor division, the girls are like 18, 20, 21, you know, years old. And they are not used to this game. So I think it's a big advantage for us that most people don't play half guard, or they don't have people playing half guard in their gym. So they don't know how to do. Maybe they have some training, but they don't have. It's hard to find like a gym where they have someone that is really good at half guard. So I feel like that's a plus. Not only I love half guard, but I feel more confident knowing that it's a different game for most girls.
Yeah, I agree. And it's easy to get people out of balance when you first get there. Or deep, for me, it's like deep half all day, because I do deep half all day and I get people off balance. And for me, that's what I like. But it's like you have different half guard to play. You got coyote, you got a dog fight, you got the slee guard, you got the set guard, you got many variations. So it's like what fits you.
I would say a dog fight is probably the first one I feel more comfortable with, and then I would say reverse half guard to electric chair or to the choke, the Ezekiel choke. I really like to do and play that choke together with the rocket. I don't know if you know what I mean.
No, not really. The rocket. I never heard that before. I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't have any deep. I use the deep just for a transition move. I don't play deep half guard.
Oh, you don't?
Don't tell anyone.
No, I won't. I won't. Is Jake there too?
Yes.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, so like, do you still do your old game, like Spider Guard and stuff, or do you do mostly half guard now?
Half guard, I would say it's 99.7%. Since I got my black belt, I realized that at some point I'll start teaching classes. I mean, I teach privates, but at some point I'll have to know a little bit of everything. So I'm playing some lasso spider now. But I mean, if anything goes wrong, I always go back to half guard.
Good. That's not a bad game, you know, because like lasso guard and spider guard, you really feel it in your fingertips, you know, if you do too much of it. And I don't like game that I have to use too much fingers in the sleeve. Yeah, I don't like it because it tears my fingers, and then when I'm gonna choke someone, I can't do it because it burns all down my arm. So I'm a half guard guy, like till I die, half guard.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's I feel such a big difference when I play Spider or Lasogar, because we don't use the grips the same way in when we play in Hrafgar, right? You just have to have good grips, but it doesn't mean actually the grips we have in Hrafgar, people are usually not fighting against. You're holding their hips or their knees. It's not like, you know, they're trying to break your grips at any cost. So I agree with you. That's the thing I don't like about open guard.
Yeah, because you have to use a lot of hands to hold the sleeve or the collar or the pants it tires your grip for a long variety of time.
Yeah, and I feel very exposed too. I'm trying to get better, because that's the way you get better, right? Trying, but just doing and, you know, trying to figure what to do next. But I feel very exposed. That's the thing I love about Hrafgar. Like, you always have one leg trapped there.
Mm-hmm.
And the person close to you. So, I don't know, I feel more in control than when you're just exposing, you know, your legs and your arms.
I agree 100%, because like I've been trying like to play a little bit open guard and collar and sleeve and that, but I feel like I get too, people pass me too easy. When I got half guard, it's not that easy to pass me. I get passed, of course, but it's not that easy, and not too often. It's much more safer, you know, you don't risk anything. If you don't sweep him, you don't risk too much. You know, if you play collar and sleeve or spider or lasso, you risk a lot. You can end up with side control. They can take your back. They can mount you. They can do whatever, you know, if they're good at breaking the grip.
Right? They can attack your foot too.
Yeah.
That's I don't like too about open guard.
Yeah, it's risky, you know, like... if you're good at it, sure, why not? But like, I don't have the body type or the hip flexibility to do it. So I'm sticking to half guard and stuff like that. So I think that's the most safest things to do. So
I think so too.
Mm. So what's your favorite pass?
Pass over under.
Good answer. I like that too.
Yeah, I think it goes very well with. Half guard sweep to over under, because you're always so close to the person. I also like to pass half guard, like get into the half guard and from there to the katagatami, the arm at triangle, and passing from there. I like that one very much too, but.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good passing too. Do you do a long step pass, terere pass?
I drill, but I don't. I've never tried in a fight. Sometimes I try in a role at the gym, but I don't think I've ever tried in a fight.
Yeah, because I had the class today, because the instructor is not here, so he's like asked me, okay, can you, another guy was supposed to have a class, and then he couldn't because he's got the, I think his injury or something, so he asked me like, hey, can you take the class? I'm like, sure. But anyway, we had long step pass today, so I showed a little bit about long step pass from the De La Riva guard, because De La Riva is a very modern guard, so. So I showed a little bit of long step from there and to a baseball choke with the collar like this, right? So
yeah, that's really good. I really like. I think long step is safe. It's not like, you know, if you're doing everything right, it's safe, right? Yeah, and the baseball choke. It's a really good combination.
Yeah, I like it, you know, because you get straight into side control. If you do that technique properly, you get the side control right away, and then you can have the baseball choke or some other variations of a collar choke or whatever you like, or the arm or like whatever. But me, I prefer the choke before the arm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's the best, you know. So it's simple and it doesn't require too much. Like I feel like many times with the armor, I feel like I don't have like too much good of control, and you risk too much.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
So yeah, you have more resources if you lose the choke. You're usually in a better spot than when you lose the armbar.
Yeah, because like if you do the arm, if you don't do it correctly, like they can stack you, or they can get the arm out while they stack you, or they can get the what's the name of the hitchhiker's whip.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so you have to, it has to be so 100% right when you're gonna do it. It's nothing wrong with it, but it's like for me, I have to, I prefer to do choke instead, because if I don't get it, you don't risk too much, like you said.
Yeah.
100%. So what's the plan? What's your like your plans for this year or even next year? Are you gonna compete more, or are you gonna teach more, or what are you gonna do?
So right now I'm looking at tournaments. The thing is, the flight tickets are like double the price, or even three times the price they were until last year. Flight tickets are crazy expensive right now. So I'm trying to find like, I can't remember the one I saw recently, but there was no girl my weight division, so you know I have to one that it's not gonna be like a crazy expensive trip, and then I'll have at least two fights, you know, instead of flying all the way to another country and having one fight.
Yeah, it sucks, you know, or you don't have a fight at all, you know, no one shows up, and you just okay win a gold medal. It's no point in that, so.
Oh, it will be such a very expensive gold medal, like it's like buying a gold medal, right? It's not earning. I don't know. I've been looking even to Europe to see, because it's closed, right? I mean, geographically. It's close to Europe as well. So I'm always keeping an eye on the calendar, the IBJJF calendar, or even AGP. But I am competing this year. I haven't decided what yet. And I want to do a few adult divisions before I compete as a master.
Yeah, but that's good, you know. Because APG, they have tournaments in Europe and all over, so it's like more possibilities with them, I think, than IBJJF.
Yes, the problem is having people in my division, because for AGP, I do 49 kilos. For me to do 55 kilos will be like, I will be too light for the division. So, yeah, I'll see. I'm always checking their websites to see if there are enough girls at all. I know they will have AGP will have one tournament in Canada, and so will IBJJF. So maybe they'll. Those will be the ones I will be doing for now.
Mm. Yeah. Are you like traveling to Rio nowadays, or you just stay in Canada now?
Well, we moved here. I've been Rio twice this year, preparing for the Worlds, for the Brazilian Nationals. I can't remember the first. One, I competed like the first time I went there, but yeah, I fought some tournaments when I was there. I think I'll be going back end of the year just to stay with my family. I always say I'm gonna go in a time there's no tournament so I can stay with my family, but it's really hard because I'll be in Rio. I know there's no other place to train like GFT in Maya. So I'll try to not be there every day. I'll try my best.
Yeah.
Not to go there when you know there's so many good training partners for you.
Yeah, because like when you're there, you have people from all sizes and age divisions and belts and everything. So it's good to be there to train there because like, yeah, the surroundings is good and you can pick and choose on who you want to roll with. So like.
Yeah, there was at some point last year or beginning of this year, there were 7 girls in my division, like 7 brown belts, light feather. Which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. Like, so, yeah. I want to spend time with my family and friends, but, you know, knowing I'll be there, let's see how that goes.
Yeah, I can understand because it's very tempting. I'm just going to go and train 1 hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to like just gonna go and train 1 hour and then it becomes 2 hours and like yeah and then the day is gone. So but like because Julio he moved to the States like maybe 4 years ago to expand GF team, but what happened with that?
I can't remember exactly what happened with him, but there was something with his visa. The visa he was applying for, and then when he got back to Brazil, I don't want to say anything because
sure.
I can't remember details. I don't want to say something that is wrong, but
yeah.
I know that related to his visa, so he ended up staying longer in Brazil than he was planning. But it was actually, I think he was also happy about it because when he left, training in May wasn't the same. So when he went back to Brazil, the training started to get really good again. And then Gutenberg moved back to Brazil from Ohio. And that also attracted a lot of people. And it was another wave of, you know, new generation, a lot of new people, new faces, like 10, 15 new faces every day. People, so I was training there for years, and every day I would see only 1 or 2 people that I knew before, like a lot of new people coming training, which was great for the regrowth of GFT headquarters in Rio.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I read an article, I think Flo Grappling who posted it that, because Jake was living there, right? Him and Jamie lived there in, What did you call that place again? Where do you live? What's the name?
Kashanga,
yeah. Yeah, because I read an article about that from Flo Grappling. So I was like, damn, that's dedication. And, you know.
Oh, yeah. That was before Julio moved to the States. That was even before. So I think when you went there, the gym, the training was upstairs, right? Yeah, so when Jake and Jaime lived there, there was nothing upstairs other than like just like a creepy, you know, dark room with nothing there. Very hard to imagine yourself living there, but they did because they were there for the training. So they were living jiu-jitsu from the moment they woke up until the moment they went to bed. So, but when you see GFT headquarters right now, it looks nothing like it was when they lived in the gym. It's very different.
Yeah, they've upgraded a lot since, I think they upgraded again since I was there last time they changed the mat too. I think they have like white cover on the mats now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They did. They changed again recently, but it's white, it's still white, but they put new mats under the thing.
Yeah, because like how long has GF team been there, like in that location, Mayor?
Since, let me ask Jake. Jake is in standby here in case I need any help.
Sure.
Since 2008.
Can I say hi to him?
Of course.
Yeah. What's hey, Jake. Brother? Hey, what's up? Good seeing you again, brother.
Good to see you too.
How's things?
Everything's great, buddy. How you been?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Everything's good. I'm training and recovering injuries and life is good, man. Just moved to a new place. So I'm happy.
That's great to hear, brother. I'm gonna be in Europe here in a couple of months. Hopefully, maybe I'll get to see you around Europe or something when I'm there. I'm gonna be there for I think 3 or 4 weeks.
Ooh, nice. Where are you going?
I'm gonna be all over the place. I'm gonna be in Germany, Holland, Ireland, England. I don't think I'm going to go to Scandinavia this time, but I'm going to try to maybe go next year. I'll message you when I go so we can get together.
Would be fun, man. And maybe I'll see you in Germany to visit Gabriel or something. Because the ticket is not so expensive from here to Germany.
Sure, I'm going to be in Berlin with Gabriel for 1 week. It'll be great to see you.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'll let you know if I get there, so sure.
Sounds good, brother.
Yeah.
See you soon.
You too, man. Good seeing you. So yeah.
So you're leaving.
What?
Do you live in Norway?
Yes. Yes. You been here?
No. The closest I've been, I think, it's Sweden.
That's Yeah. Norway is nice, you know. It's expensive, but it's nice. So, I like it. But the weather could be better at times. But besides that, it's nice. And, it's very good.
Yeah. There's no perfect place. There's always something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, totally. The only thing I really miss, like sometimes, I really miss the Brazilian barbecue. Oh, damn, it's so tasty. I love it. Every time I go to Brazil, the first thing I do is to go to a restaurant that has Brazilian barbecue and just eat a lot. It's so tasty.
Do you miss açaí? Or did you try açaí? Really?
Yeah, many times. I love açaí. I love it. It's like Brazilian chocolate, you can call it. It's super good. I love it. So nice. Açaí with granola or with chocolate powder or whatever you like. It's so good. We sell açaí here in like some frozen bags, so you can make it yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm making it sometimes. It's super tasty.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
So,
back to the fun stuff. You have like a cat, right? We got to talk about that.
Of course. Where's my son?
we got to talk about the cat. Like I grew up like with cats. Like since I was a kid, I had cats. What about you?
Oh yeah, me too. See, I've always had cats. At one point, we had 19 cats. At one time, because they were just, reproducing between them, and my dad was, I was a kid, my dad wasn't taking them to get neutered. I've always been a cat person. I love dogs, but it's very different. If you grow up with cats, you know how unique they are.
Yeah.
And what a strong personality they have, each of them. They're so different. They're very special.
Yeah, they're very like independent too, and like you said, they have like very different personalities, and they do weird stuff at times, you know, like what are you doing down there? What are you doing back there? Or like they do some weird stuff and they scream and stuff, and like they do some weird stuff all the time.
Yeah, and I love how they know they are better than everyone else. They're always kind of judging everybody. I bet if we can understand what they think or what they say, we will not be happy with what with what they say, because I'm sure they think we're just idiots, because they know they're much superior than the rest of any other animal or humans, whatever. They're
Yeah, I talked to a friend of mine earlier today about cats, because if the cat, for example, has let us say a very dirty fur, the other cats look at them and it's like, what's wrong with him? He doesn't look good. They look down on him. I didn't know that.
I think they also hate our own smell. Like, that's why they're bathing all the time. No matter how clean you are, they don't like. They're so clean. That's another thing I love about them too, because I don't want to compare, but you know, you have to be cleaning dogs all the time. If you have a dog, you know they're gonna be stinky if you don't give them a bath or something. But with cats, they're never stinky. Never. They're so clean.
Mm, they are. They never like gets dirty, and if they get dirty, they wash themselves up. Or sometimes you have to help them, but not too often. No, not too often.
Not too often, and it's more when they are very little, with their babies. Sometimes they don't know. I remember when we got Pepe, he didn't know at first.
All right, put the recording back on. So yeah, how old is he now? 3? Yeah.
It's 3. And I think that's something that's happening with a lot of pets. I think because of the pandemic, we were home so like all the time. So now when we have to go away and have some diarrhea, or he would scratch himself too much. And I took him to the vet several times, and we realized it's all emotional.
Ah, poor guy.
Yeah, but I hear a lot of people saying the same about their pets. Like, I think they just got used to us being home 24 hours, and now they don't want to.
Yeah, because like my mom, she's like retired now, so she's like home with the cats all the time, and they're very attached to her, because they have to, they always like wants to be close with my mom all the time. She has them on her lap, or one cat she had, he lays on top here, like here. He likes to lie here. And another guy, he just likes to stand under a chair and lie there. And the others, they just walk around on their lap. Like, yeah, they do. So it's like, they're very attached to my mom.
I hate when people are not loyal. They're so loyal to you. When they choose their owners, and they will just be so loyal to him. He attacks me a lot, because sometimes I think he thinks I'm another cat or some animal, because he loves to play wild with me. But right away, he would just follow me around the house. He likes to be near me. He hates when I touch him too much, but he's my loyal little son.
Have you thought about like getting another one, or just you're just gonna have one?
We discuss that a lot. People expect us to be discussing about having kids, and we don't. We discuss about having another cat. The thing is, we love his personality. We are just afraid that it will change, because they are very territorial animals, right? So sometimes they just change their personality when there's another cat around. We don't know. We have to test. We know he likes big dogs. He hates small dogs. And we don't know. We have to test. I would love for him to have a best friend.
Yeah, like small kittens are always, it's always fun, you know. I love kittens, you know. It's like, oh, they're so sweet.
Yeah.
Did you get him as a kitten, or did you get him when he was grown up? your cat?
He was only 9 weeks old when I got him in an animal shelter. Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Should be It's okay. It's funny. Let me check the connection. Do you hear me? I think it's good now.
Yeah, yeah, I can hear you.
What was your question?
I forgot what it was. I forgot. I think it was like if you got him from, yeah, you got him from the shelter when he was like nine weeks old. So he was a small kitten.
And that was in Columbus, Ohio, in the States. So we had to bring him to Canada. Jake came with him in our airplane. I feel bad for him. It was probably super stressful, but he did good.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, if I like buy a house or something or apartment, I'm definitely gonna get a cat. I really thought about it. So if I buy a house or something, I'm definitely gonna get a cat. They are so awesome. Have you seen like the Maine Coon? You seen those cats, right? The big ones.
Yes, I have two friends here that have through pictures, but one friend has two of them, and they're beautiful. And they're just babies. They're huge. Yeah, they're beautiful. But what I'm really into adopting, because when you go to an animal shelter and you see all those kitties there that, you know, they probably suffer a lot. They were separated from their mothers and left. Like, he was found in a parking lot. I would love to have one of those cool cats too. But when you think about it, there's so many kitties that are looking for a home. So I'm a big supporter of adopting.
Totally, I agree. It's a very good thing to do. You know, it's very nice. You know, you even if it's maybe a senior cat, because like, it's very sad because I've seen on Instagram and stuff like people don't want senior cats, but it's not a bad thing to get a senior cat. You know, if as long as it's nice and you know it's you can get along with it, it's no problem, and they can and they you don't have so much responsibility for dad as you had for a small kitten.
Yeah, that's true. I think the main reason why of course, there were senior cats there too, and I felt really bad when I saw them, and I know the chances are smaller for them to get adopted, but Jake wasn't a cat person when I met him, and he fell in love with one kitty we found on the streets in Rio, and my sister took home. He fell in love with the kitty because the kitty was so cute, and he will just jump in the bed and stay in Jake's chest. So Jake used to be allergic to cats, and he's not allergic anymore. But by then there wasn't our cat. So I went to the animal shelter to find one kitty, and I didn't know how Jake was going to take it. I knew he was not so opposed to the idea. But I thought that maybe, you know, having a little one and seeing him growing would make things easier. Now he's a big cat person. He will see a cat in the streets and he will stop and pet them. And
I'll do this. I do the same.
Yeah, if you see our message on Instagram, it's basically just cat videos. We chat each other all day.
Yeah, it's so funny. I do the same with my mom. I do exactly the same with my mom. She's like super. She's like a cat person too. So it's I do the same with her. It's like it's no like real conversations. Just cat videos or kittens or whatever.
That's that's all you need.
Yeah, and it's true. So, like, are you joining Jake for the European seminar tour, or are you staying at home with him?
Oh, he's the big reason why I'll stay home. One of the biggest reasons why. Not this time. I'm not going to Europe this time. I wish I was, because I love our friends from there. We always have a really good time when we were there with them. And also because I love history, so there's so much to see anywhere you go in Europe. So yeah, it's next time.
Yeah. Europe is nice, you know. Yeah, me too. I'm like a history person myself. I love history, you know, and I think it's like super awesome. With like good history, it's always fun. So my dad, like when he was alive, he was like a big he was like very big on Second World War. He had all the books about the dictators and everything, you know, even people you never heard of, he's heard of them. So it's like he had a lot of books about that and told me a lot of things, how they killed the Jews and like everything, you know, like very bad stuff they did and how they do the experiments. So he knew everything. He was like a Wikipedia for World War II. You can ask him almost anything. He knew everything, almost everything. So
that's amazing. That's really cool that you grew up with that background of having your dad teaching you history. It was so important. I went to school to study history.
Oh, really?
In history that I never used as a profession, but I use it every day. Like it really changed my point of view about everything, about society, about the world, about politics. So I'm really into those subjects, and I think everyone should be too, so we don't make the same mistakes like we did in the past.
Yeah, I agree. That's amazing. I didn't know that you had like a degree in history. I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yeah. So when I met Jake, I think I was taking a break from the from university. I wasn't sure because I knew I loved history, but being a school teacher. But I loved it. So I wasn't sure if I should finish or not. So that's when I started jiu-jitsu. And then I decided to finish. And so my first years of jiu-jitsu were like just a little bit of training. That's why I started competing late too. Because I was finishing school. I had no time to train. But yeah, I don't regret studying history. I don't regret for a second. It added so much to the person I am now.
Mm. Yeah, like history is like, I love history. You know, even since I went to like junior high school, it was like, history was always something that I really like. Damn, this is interesting, you know. And I was never like good at school or something like that or had interest in it. But history was something like, damn, this is interesting, and this is something that I really can have benefit of and learning. And plus, I had my dad too, that explains me a lot of things and stuff like that. He was like, he couldn't stop talking. You have to say, like, hey, Dad, it's enough, right? But I also had him, so it was like super. It was like very interesting and fun to learn about history and stuff. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Hmm. When Jake goes to Europe and I don't go, I always feel like I'm missing just seeing more like museums, you know, historical sites and all of that. It's not about, you know, traveling for just traveling. It's just that I know there's so much to see, so much history everywhere. Such a no continent, right? With so much documents and, you know, pieces of the past everywhere. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Mm, 100%. 100%. Have you read the BJJ Globetrotter?
No.
I would recommend that. It's you heard of him, right? The guy who started that team.
Oh, Farah. Yeah, no, yeah, I heard of that. I never.
Jake knows it.
Sorry?
Jake knows about that, you know, like the BJJ Globetrotters and the camps and stuff like that. I talked to him about it when he was a guest on my podcast last time.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but because, like, the book is, like, super amazing. He goes to, like, very historical places and trains jiu-jitsu. The book is not only about jiu-jitsu. It's not like history, but he's, like, in historical places, like, where there have been, like... cool stuff and where it's torn down and stuff like that, and he visits different places where they're like super dedicated to jiu-jitsu. They don't have much, but they like super dedicated and like try to like make the best of what they have.
So the audio was a little funny. Are you talking about opening the clothes guard?
No. The book, the BJJ Globetrotters book.
Oh, no, yeah, I thought you were talking about the book called Opening the Clothes Guard by Drysdale.
No. The BJ Globetrotters book is another book with the guy from Denmark who traveled around the world in 4 or 5 months and trained at, like, many, like, interesting locations, like Fiji and Macedonia and stuff like that, you know, like some old Eastern Bloc countries. So it's a very interesting story.
Oh, nice. No, I haven't read. I'll look for it. I'll Google it.
Yeah, because
see if I can.
Yeah, because he was like. He was like against politics and jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. He was like, you know, train everywhere. I'm the same, you know. I train everywhere. You know, no one's gonna tell me where to train or what gi I'm gonna wear. Nobody's gonna tell me that. I don't care about that anyway. But like, he's like that too. And he started the movement BJ Globetrotters, and he had like now he has like camps around the world in the Caribbean. He had in Belgium and many places around Europe and the world. So it's like, I'm going to camp in 9 days on the Faroe Islands.
Wow.
To train jiu-jitsu.
Wow. Sounds great.
Yeah. So yeah. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So like, how's the jiu-jitsu in Canada right now? Is it, do you guys have your own school now or are you training another place?
We're training at one of GF team schools here in Nova Scotia. We train at Grant Martial Arts. TJ Grant and Alex are the owners. They're a good friend of ours. We train there 3 times a week, but Jake and I train a lot at the house. We have mats here. We do a lot of drilling. We study a lot of half guard and a lot of new stuff we try to work on, and we do some specifics. So, yeah, I would say Jake's my main training partner.
How's the level of like training partners down there, like in the gym? Is it a lot of beginners or is it like mixed?
There are a lot of color belts, lots of black belts, actually, to be fair. I have one female partner I train with more often, but she's really good, but she's a mom, she has 2 kids, she's an engineer, she's very busy, she doesn't compete. You know, so it's not like having a routine with a training partner. So I do train a lot with those two owners of the gym. They're also black belts. Of course, they're much bigger than me, but they're really good. They're very, very controlled, and they have such a different style that you're used to in Brazil. Especially DJ, because he was a UFC fighter
Yeah.
So he, a lot of things there are like MMA related. His jiu-jitsu is awesome. I'm just saying that it's very different from the jiu-jitsu we see in Brazil, because he has this, how do I say, even the frames and the way he defends the back and the way he defends the pass, you can see that's really like MMA style, but really, really technical. I have a lot of fun. Of course, it's not the same as having lots of girls my size, my weight division, my belt, but it's fun.
That's good.
It's growing. Like everywhere in the world, jiu-jitsu is growing so much. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but like I can understand why you like take the trips to Rio at times, just to like get more girls to train with, because it's like it's probably good for you to train with the boys too. But it's like I don't know. Do you feel like the weight difference has a big meaning, or doesn't it really matter, or it depends?
It is very different, because like even if the guy's my weight, he will be stronger because of the bone composition and all of that, the testosterone and all of that. That makes a huge difference. But it's very different because, like, the guys, you don't know. Sometimes you will be able to do things, but you know that they are letting you do things. They are not going 100%. And if they go 100%, you know they're going 100%. Sometimes you cannot do anything. So it's very hard to find someone that can give you a good balance. And even when they do, like we brought this kid, Leo Neves. He's now a brown belt. He just won the Brazilian Nationals, killing everyone. He's going to be a big name very soon.
Nice.
Write these words.
Nice.
We brought him here. And he's another level. You cannot even understand. Like, the kid is obsessed with jiu-jitsu. He lives jiu-jitsu since he was 4. He's now 19. So he was here. And he's so good that I couldn't tell if I was just terrible at jiu-jitsu. You know, it was hard because he's so good. It's hard to have him as a reference when I don't have any other girl my size that is a competitor to test and see how I'm actually doing. So he was here before the Pan Ams. I had very hard days where I would tell Jake, I don't know if I should compete because, like, I cannot do anything to Leo. And I know he's another level, but am I not being able to do anything because he's very good? Or am I really, like, really, really bad at jiu-jitsu? You know, because he's so good that you don't know. Of course, he's much better than I am. But how can I know how good I am, you know, when you're only training with someone that is so good?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You need a balance. You have to have someone close to your level to test, right? And he's another level. He's a beast. He's really, really good.
I know exactly.
Was,
I know exactly
it
what you mean.
He was just too good. It wasn't me that was too bad. Of course, I'm not saying I'm good, but he was. He's different.
I'll definitely check him out.
Know.
I'll definitely check him out.
I don't know if you trained with him when you were in Rio. He was probably like a orange or a green belt.
No, I don't think so. Because when I was there, there weren't no like kids belt there. It was competition class, and you had to be a blue belt to get there. Because I talked to Julio first time I got there, I was a blue belt. So he asked me like, which belt are you? I'm blue belt with 3 stripes. So, but after that, I don't think he was there. I don't think so.
he was the only kid that was allowed to the competition training. So, and even as a green belt, you see him giving a hard time to lots of black belts, even when he didn't have the strain of a man, which he's building right now. So, I'm a big fan of him. You'll see his name everywhere soon.
That's nice. That's good. Do you guys still train with Vitor Oliveira?
No, because I mean he's in Ohio, right? But Jake is going there in a few days. I think he's spending 10 days there. They're gonna train. He's a good friend of ours. We miss him a lot. He's another beast too. Like I admire his jiu-jitsu so much. It's incredible, that guy, man. He doesn't train. His training is the tournaments mostly. He always puts up a show. Like it's incredible. His jiu-jitsu is so beautiful. He's so precise.
How old is he? How old is he now?
And he doesn't even train, which is
damn. How old is he now?
I think he's 34. I think he's 34.
He's not that much older than me. I'm 33.
Yeah.
But yeah. I would love to train with him someday. I've been watching him, his matches some. His matches before, and I would love to train with him at some point.
Yeah, if you're ever in the States in Columbus, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he's gonna open his gym for you. He's very nice. Sometimes he can look like he's grumpy, but he's not. He has a big heart. He's really nice and friendly. It's just his face sometimes is like a bad boy, but he's the coolest.
Nice. I'll definitely check him out. I'm definitely gonna go to Canada and train with you and Jake at some point too. You know, I want to train with everyone. Yeah. I want to train with everyone.
Yeah.
Lots of half guard.
Yes.
Of course, you know. You probably have some things that I never thought of to show me a technique or a detail that I never thought of. So I think that's just like super awesome, you know, to learn from another half guard masters like you and Jake.
I'm sure you do things that I don't, and we can always learn from each other, because the thing with the half guard too is like you play so much, you start to deal with all kind of reactions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course there's always the one different thing that no one ever did to you before, and how do you deal with it? And it's always good to talk with someone that plays half guard, because maybe I have an answer for something you struggle with, you have the answer for something I struggle with. It's gonna be fun. Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, definitely. Because like guys who inspired me a lot was like Jake is one of them, Lucas, Gordo, and Kurt Osiander, and another Canadian black belt named Kyle Sleeman. He's very good. He's one of the instructors in BJJ Globetrotters at the camps. So those guys has inspired me a lot from my half guard.
Yeah, we all of them are also references for us, and also Bernardo Pitel and Eduardo Telles. They have different styles, but there are lots of things from their games that we blend to our games too. So many good people out there and it's amazing that we have access to videos of them online, so you can always learn.
Yeah, definitely. And we have like, and Bernardo Faria too, he has like amazing platform now with BJJ Fanatics and stuff. It's very good, you know. He's spreading the word and it's not that expensive either. So it's too affordable price, and you get a lot of material, especially his things, that's that are half guard or orientated or over under pass like he does a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So yeah, we've been talking for 28 minutes now. Is there anything you want to add or thank someone or?
Well, no. I want to thank you. I want to thank Jake. If it was a year training jiu-jitsu, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, it was good talking to you, and I'll put it out on the Instagram page and tag you in it. I'll tag Jake too, so, and the GF team and stuff like that. So, yeah, I hope you're happy and I hope you're doing good.
Thank you. I hope you do great too. Hope to see you soon in the future.
For sure. Maybe we'll meet in Rio again and let's spar. You got to show me the half guard. You got to show me some half guard stuff. So if I come to Rio, we got to meet up and train.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear anything you said.
I said, if I come to Rio, we gotta meet up in Mayer and train there.
Yes.
And yes. Bring Jake along.
I'll.
All right. Okay. Take care, Melissa. Take care, Melissa. Where's Jake?
Okay. Take care.
Take care. Thank you. Thank you. See you, brother. See you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
See you.
See you. Bye.